The aim of this talk is to introduce a very soft categorical frame which will give way to a very general process of classifying classical algebra. And the art of this classifying process will be seen to be deeply related to the notion of intrinsic centrality. So before anything else, a bit of notation. In the first part of this talk, we shall work in a category which is pointed. That means that the initial map is a terminal. The initial object is a terminal object. So for any pair of objects, of course, you have a special map, which is classically called the zero map between X and Y. And then, of course, if you consider the set of zero map in C, it is an ideal in the sense that composing a zero map on left and right preserves zero map. Now, I shall call punctual span between two objects X and Y. Firstly, a span with two other maps such that this form a double zero sequence in the sense that D0 point S is the identity on X, D0 point T is zero, D1 point T is the identity, and D1 point S is zero. Of course, among the punctual span, you can consider the punctual relation when the punctual span is a punctual relation when the factorization is a mono, and then naturally there is a canonical punctual span in any pointed category with the consideration of the product, since you have, of course, the projections and the section given by what I call left X, which is a pair given by the pair of identity on X and 0 on R Y, which is okay. And this is not only a punctual span, but punctual relation, and I shall call it the indiscrete punctual relation. Now, let us begin by a very, very elementary observation. If you consider the category of unitary magma, where unitary magma is a binary operation plus a unit element, of course, the very trivial identity xy point x1 point 1y equal xy in the product of two magma show very immediately that if you consider a sub magma, a sub magma which contains at the same time, where is if you consider a submagma which contains the term of this form and the term of this form, then R must be equal to the product. And in the same way, in other terms, that means that in my every punctual relation, because this is a punctual relation, every punctual relation is indiscrete. Another very trivial remark is that if you consider now any punctual span, then the factorization given by the pair D0, D1 is surjective. And it is surjective in a very elementary way, in the sense that, of course, given any pair XY, you can consider the product of SX times TY, which is in Z. And of course, because of the identity here, D0 of this Z equal X and D0, D1 of Z equals Y. So you have a natural, in the set context, a natural antecedent. And of course, it appears that this these two conditions are in actually equivalent. There is a very general theorem which says that when C is pointed and finitely complete, then the following are equivalent. Punctual span, a punctual relation is indiscrete. Given any punctual span, the factorization is a strong epimorphism. And third, given any pair of objects, the pair of monomorphism given by the canonical injection is jointly strongly epic. And I shall call unital a category which satisfies any of these conditions. So, of course, the first example of this situation is the category of unitary magma. There is a very simple result which will give a wide range of examples with the following result. Given a functor which is left exact and conservative. If C is pointed and D is unital, then C is unital. And so evidently, every theory which has a less exact conservative forgetful functor to the category of magma is unital. So I shall give a first. List. Yes. I chose the bad choice, board and slide. So through these two points, this point two, of course, the category of monoids. Commutative monoids, group, abelian groups, ring, but not necessarily unitary, are unital. Of course, a monad on a unital category which preserves the zero object is the algebra of this monad is unital. And finally, we have a characterization of unital varieties. This is a result with Francis Borseux. A variety of algebra of universal algebra V is unital if and only if it is Johnson-Tarski. That means that the theory has a unique constant, zero, and a binary operation with zero as unit. There are also non-syntactical examples with the dual of the category of pointed set. And given any elementary topos, the dual of the category of pointed object in the topos is unital. And finally, given any finitely complete category, the algebraic internal structure are unital. So the category of internal magma, internal monoid, etc., are unital. So, for instance, topological groups form the unital category. One of the main consequences of the definition of a unital category is that when you have a map from x times y to z, of course, this map is completely characterized because this pair is strongly jointly epic. This pair is epic in a finitely complete context. So any pair psi of this kind is completely determined by its composite. And conversely, given any pair fj of map of this kind, there is at most one C which can make this diagram commute. So, in a way, the existence of such a map is no more for the structure for the pair, but a property. And so, we can introduce the following definition. We say that the pair FG cooperates when there is such a phi, and the map phi is called the cooperation of the pair. We should say that a map F is central when the pair given by F and the identity on Y cooperate. And we shall say that an object X of C is intrinsically commutative when the identity on X is central. So, of course, in the classical context of the category of monoid, for instance, the definition of centrality coincides with the classic one. And commutativity, of course, too. Of course, you have you can at this stage observe that there is situation where any map is central, like in the category of commutative monoid. And you have also situation where, like in the dual of the category of pointed set, and this is one the interest of this example, that there is no other central map than the 0-1. In MAG, for instance, the situation is a little bit more complicated. Of course, a map F is central when you have the condition you expect by X times F, X, Y times Fx equal Fx times Y for every pair, but you need also partial associative condition like and another one of that kind with Fx on the other side. Okay, the idea behind this definition of cooperating map goes back to a paper by Huck in 1968, but he gives the definition in a very much heavier context so that the example of magma of monoid escapes from his list of examples. So now let us briefly list a first. Let's give first list of properties. So, of course, a central map cooperates with any map. If the codomain of a map is commutative, of course, F is central. If you consider the set of all central maps, it is right ideal. And so, as a consequence, the central map are stable by composition. And so, and you get, of course, the property you expected. And now, if you consider the subset of central map between X and Y, then there is an action of ZX on CXY in the following way. If you have two parallel maps, F and J, and F central, of course you can consider the cooperation of F with the identity on Y. This is the map given by the fact that F is central, and you can consider, of course, here the pair 1xj, and we call that F plus J, and this is an operation of Z on C, and it turns out that when you restrict this operation to ZC, it takes its value in ZC, and so ZXY turns out to be a commutative monoid, and alpha to be a monoid action. Inside, among the central maps, you can consider a more specific class. I should say that a map F is symmetrizable. When it is central, and such that it has an inverse in the monoid Z. Then XY. Again, we can have a list of property of symmetrizable maps. I must precise that when an object X is abelian, when the identity on X is symmetrizable. And so we obtain a list of property. Once again, it's the list you expect. When the codomain of a map is abelian, of course, the map is always symmetrizable. If you consider the set of symmetrizable map in C, this is again a right ideal, and so sigma is stable by composition as a consequence. And now, if you consider the subset of the central of the symmetrizable maps, it forms an abelian group, which where are my papers? So inside any unital category C, there is a kind of additive core, and this core will appear to have a discriminatory power in the following sense, because evidently in any pointed category you have at least two extremal right ideals, namely the ideals of the zero map and the ideal constituted by all the maps. And so you can consider a situation where all the maps are central, or all the maps are symmetrizable, or the situation where there is no other central map than the 0-1, or the situation where there is no other symmetrizable map than the 0-1. I have not time to go into the details, but of course, the first column, the result of the first column is expected. A unital category is such that all the maps are central if and only if it is linear in the sense of Lovir, or alpha additive in the sense of Fried, Seedorf. That means that the diagram given by the two canonical inclusion is a sum. So this situation is satisfied when the category is linear, and of course a unital category is such that every map is symmetrizable if and only if it is additive. Now the second column probably is less expected, and so I shall call anti-linear a category such that the only central map are the zero map. And of course this definition is interesting by the example we get. So it is easily it is easy to check that the category of Boolean rings is anti-additive. Of course, one word about the terminology. I choose this terminology because a category which is at the same time linear and anti-linear is degenerate. It is equivalent to to one. The category of von Neumann regular rings is anti-additive. The category of 18 semilattice and again, as we already noticed, the category of the dual of pointed set and the dual of any pointed object in any topos. So I can write here anti-linear. Sorry? Without unit. Sorry? You don't need unit. Because there is a sort of inverse, but without unit. So I shall call anti-additive. Unital category step that the only symmetrizable map are the zero map. Of course, anti-linear implies anti-additive. And so the question is, are there examples of anti-additive category which are not anti-linear? And it is not very difficult to have example. So you have the category of idempotent magmas. Of course, in the same spirit, the category of idempotent monoids. And more generally, if you have a Johnson-Tarski variety, if the law which gives to the variety the Johnson-Tarski structure is idempotent, the category is anti-additive. Sorry?
Every element
arrives. Exactly. Of course, there are situations where any central map is symmetrizable, as in group or in the category of abelian group, any central map is symmetrizable. So natural question arises, is there an easy context where any central map is symmetrizable? And this is the sense of the following definition. A pointant category C is strongly unital when it is pointed and finitely complete, of course. And any of the following equivalent conditions hold. For that, I just need further definition. But so I shall define as a right punctual span in a pointed category. Span again with two maps, but with only three of the previous identities. You need D1 T is 1, D1 S is 0, D0 S is 1. And you drop the condition D0 T is 0. You call this a right punctual span. And so a strongly unital category is a category which fulfill the following condition. Any right punctual span determines a strong epoch factorization, or any right punctual relation is indiscrete. Well, there is a third condition which is interesting also, because you see that just dropping one condition suffice to obtain what we want. And the third one is that for any object X, this pair of map, this S0 is the diagonal, is the templation notation for the diagonal, is jointly strongly epic. And now it is not difficult to show that in a strongly unital category, any symmetrizable map, any central map is symmetrizable. Of course, in classical algebra, there is a wide range of pointed category, and so the context of pointed categories is worth studying. But it could appear also as a hard restriction. But in fact, it is only an apparent restriction, because any category C carries with itself a vibration which is pointed, and we shall see in a moment that the classification process which exists at the level of pointed category can be extended to any category via this vibration of pointed objects. So I introduce the category point C. So now C is any category, not necessarily pointed. The category point C has for object as the split epimorphism and as morphism the rectangles, the commutative rectangles. And of course, you have a forgetful functor from the category of pointed object to C. When C is finitely complete, then P is a vibration, and the fibers of this vibration are pointed. And so the question is, can we lift the previous classification process to any category? Of course, is the functor which associates to any epimorphism its codomain. Okay, thanks. So, many interesting things happened. The first thing is that when you ask that the fibers are unital, then this is the case if and only if they are strongly unital. And so the distinction which exists at the pointed level disappears at the level of this vibration. And more surprisingly, this is the case if and only if the category is Malthus, in the sense of carbonyl and bacpedicyl, where Maltese category is a category such that any reflexive relation is an equivalence relation. Now, the fiber are linear if and only if they are additive. And this is the case if and only if, I forget to precise that when C is finitely complex and regular, the Maltese context is the context in which it is possible to develop an internal commutator theory, as the talk of Marino on Monday shows it partly. When the fiber linear, it is the case if and only if it is the additive. This is the case if and only if they are naturally Maltese in the sense of Johnston. And in this situation, the Lovere condition holds. The Lovere condition is a very interesting condition. It says that every reflexive graph is in a unique way a group read. And for me, it is the geometrical counterpart of additivity. The additivity in the non-Poincaré context is exactly this. This means that in any situation where you have two arrows of this kind, you can always complete it in a unique way. Now, I called proto-arithmetic the situation when the fiber are additive. This is the case if and only they are antilinear. And now the question was, is there a known situation which fulfills this kind of property? And this is effectively the case. When the basic category C is exact, the fibration has this property if and only if it is arithmetic in the sense of pedicchio, and arithmetic in the sense of pedicchio is a Maltese category in which for any object X, the lattice of equivalence relation on X fulfills the congruent distributive property. And this is the case, again, if and only if there is a property of that kind. And this is a result of Christina too. Bar exact master category is arithmetic if and only if any groupoid is an equivalence relation. And so you see that all the classification property which exists at the pointed level can be extended at the via distribution for any category. Now, I can't finish this talk without indicating that, of course, the fibration of pointed object has a classifying property with the property of fibers, but it has also classifying property with the property of the tensor based functors. There is a very interesting situation. When the tensor based functor of fibration of point is conservative, that means when it reflects the isomorphism, I call this situation protomodular. And the first interesting point is that this property on the tensor base implies a property on the fiber, and protomodular implies Maltese. What is interesting in the Maltese, in the protomodular context, is that there is an intrinsic, inside such category, there is an intrinsic notion of normal subobjects, which of course recover the notion of normal subobject, normal subgroup, because of course the paradigmatic example of protomodular category is the category of group. When the category is pointed and protomodular, there is a notion of exact sequence in the classical sense, in the, following which you have an exact sequence when the the second map is a kernel, is a co-kernel of its kernel. When it is pointed and regular, this is equivalent to the classical cohomological result as the short five or the 3x3 lemmas. And of course, when the category C is furthermore exact, you can obtain the classical Nusser is isomorphism. Now, I can, there is a particular notion of conservative functor, which is the monadic functor. And so you can ask that any tangible functor of this vibration of Poisson object is monadic. And this is the opportunity to, as it seems to me, the first time to introduce the fourth key word of this workshop, because we heard of descent, Galois theory of algebra, and not yet of semi-abelian categories. And a semi-abelian category is a category which is pointed and exact, and such that the transverse functor of the vibration of point is monadic. Of course, in this situation, again, the paradigmatic example of this notion is the category of group. Oh, I must mention that this terminology has been introduced by Janelidze, Marquis, Tolen. And of course, in this situation, you get all the previous results. And now, in such a situation, you can develop an intrinsic notion of semi-direct product. And this is published in a paper by Janelidze and me in TAC. You can, of course, now you have, to go further, now you have the notion of normal subobject. You can define what is a normal functor. It is a left exact conservative functor which reflects the notion of normal subobject. And in this situation, I call the category strongly protomodular. Again, not only the category of group is protomodular, but it is strongly protomodular. And when the category is pointed and exact, you can develop the techniques of the Bayer sum, but the strong protomodular axiom must be there to develop Bayer sum. And of course, the last step is when any transverse Bayer functor of this vibration is an equivalent, then I call this situation essentially affine. Of course, again, the property on the transverse Bayer implies a property on the fiber, and so essentially affine implies natural malfaits. Of course, essentially affine category is strongly protomodular, but furthermore, in this situation, as in the additive situation, every subobject is normal. When it is exact, you can develop all the stuff of the Abelian cohomology, and of course, when it is pointed and exact, you recover the notion of Abelian categories. you see that, very surprisingly, the centrality notion has a power of classification which is really very strong. Last year, Francis Borsot gave me the opportunity to give a series of lectures on that subject, and it gives us the idea to have the project of a book. Francis put copy on the table outside. And this table is a kind of backbone of this book. And it is time to finish. So just two remarks. Of course, the powerness of the vibration of point shows how important is the notion of split AP in algebra, of course. And another remark, very trivial, is how very simple categorical concept, because we use here only limits, the notion of limits, conservation of preservation, and the notion of strong AP, how far we can go with only very, very soft categorical concept, because you can get all of that. Okay, thank you.